Hello and welcome to a Connecting Consciousness update. It's the 12th of August and here in Britain it's reasonably warm. Lots of people finding it quite difficult, I think, because we traditionally have a wet heat. And they've been promising thunderstorms, haven't they? And they haven't materialised. So for me, it's great to hear people asking when are the thunderstorms coming and looking forward to the rain. And then I think back a few months ago when people didn't like the rain and they wanted the hot sunny weather. I think that's the beauty of British people. British people can chop and change so quickly. Right, we've got quite a lot to catch up with. And first of all, many apologies for not doing as many of these as we should. You'll know that I did a few interviews with Camelot Castle. And so, you know, we were doing stuff, but we just didn't do our usual podcast. So here it is. After great consideration, I decided that I actually would engage a lawyer to start legal action against the BBC. Those of you who don't know, the BBC did some months ago a programme in which they repeated, and they weren't very nice about me. The BBC perhaps do what President Trump says, which is their fake news. Now, obviously, because I've engaged a lawyer, I can't and I won't go into huge details, but I can tell you all that I have engaged a lawyer. And it really is the sort of the giant against the little person in the old Bible, the David and Goliath. The BBC is this enormous multi-billion, and it is billion, multi-billion organisation funded by the government through television licence and other bits and pieces. And I'm just an individual. And lots of people had said to me, just let it go, you know, don't worry about it. But I thought, no, you know, there's a principle here. And if the members of Connecting Consciousness, who hopefully would expect me to make the right decisions, you know, if they didn't see the founder of Connecting Consciousness actually standing up and doing something about it and just shrugging his shoulders, well, hopefully most of them would have been quite understanding, but perhaps they would have been a bit sad in their heart. So this is what's happening. A little old us are taking on the might of the BBC. We're not quite down to eating beans on toast at the moment, but if you haven't donated anything and you're a member of Connecting Consciousness, this might be a good time to see if you can find a dollar or a pound or a euro or whatever it is your method of choice, because we don't charge membership fee and I rely solely on donations and the bits of work that we can do. And I would think that there are a lot of people in the spiritual community, not just in Connecting Consciousness, who are saying, good for you, Simon, good for you, you go get them. And I think that would probably be the point, because how many people in the spiritual community have taken on the might of the BBC legally? How many people? I shouldn't think there are very many. You know, and most people who do you know, engage in lawyers tend to be incredibly wealthy, and so it doesn't matter to them, they just shrug their shoulders. Well, for the rest of us ordinary mortals, it's a big, big deal. And I'm not sad or embarrassed or hiding the fact that, you know, I have engaged a lawyer, because I won't put up with a big organisation that thinks it's so powerful that it can do stuff and then just it's immune because it's so huge. So let's follow it through. Let's see where we go with it. I didn't crowdfund or crowdsource this campaign. We've dug into our resources, we've dug very deep into our resources, and I'm not embarrassed to ask you if you're a member of Connecting Consciousness and you have never given, perhaps you could find it in your heart to give something now. That would be really helpful. Simonparkes.org, go on, hit the donate button, and you are making your little contribution, maybe a pound, don't know, but your contribution to the spiritual community actually taking on the might of the BBC. We won't be pushed around by anybody. And so this is what we're doing. So that's the first bit of news. I can't really keep you much updated because of all the law, but you know, when it goes to the next stage, then clearly I can probably tell you something more. In terms of, are there any individuals who were associated with that action, I can tell you that there are separate actions taking place as well, but it's all part of the same deal. Right. So we went to Camelot Castle. Went to Camelot Castle, met the Mappin family. What a big place it is. I'd seen the pictures from afar and it looked a very tiny castle. But when I got up to it, it was an enormous castle. Beautifully picturesque, imposingly powerful, not physically, but energetically. You know, the connection to Camelot and King Arthur. Did some interviews, which you know. Talked about the crop circle. Was made to feel very welcome, met some wonderful members of Connecting Consciousness there, who were just going there anyway. I met other people who we met through other groups, and so it was a really wonderful little weekend, and a great chance to share information and, you know, understand how other people's perceptions and other people's viewpoints. So that was really good. And you know, we went to Camelot Castle because I was owed an explanation. I'm not being rude. You know, for those of you who listened, that it went up, it went down, it went up, it went down, and you're thinking, well, you know, what's wrong with my presentation? What's wrong with it? But I didn't cause a fuss. I didn't, you know, get on my high horse. And you know, John Mappin has made an explanation. Whether that's the full explanation, I don't know, but that's the explanation he's given, and I'll accept that, of course I will. And it was just nice to, I think, to be reassured that it wasn't a problem with me. This was the key. I think the Mappins were quite determined to make it clear that they didn't have a problem with me. Others might have had a problem with me, but they didn't have a problem with me. And so they were excellent hosts, they were really kind, and I'm very grateful for what they did. So that's that. And then towards the end of the Lionsgate portal period, we went to a Taoist blessing. Becky is a member of Connecting Consciousness in the founder category. You know, she plays a very important role. She's the overall coordinator and is quite powerfully linked with the energies. So both her and I were invited. And we went to Manchester to the temple that's the head office in Great Britain, and we did the blessing. And Andy, who is the tech guy, should about this point be putting up one of those pictures of the blessing. For those who are not quite clear, the Tao is very different from Taoism. Taoism is the religion, and then you learn all about the religious stuff, but the Tao is the main energy elements, which is what Connecting Consciousness shares quite a lot of elements with. We didn't ask for the blessing. The blessing was brought to us. We were invited. What I was told was that all the light workers across the globe, as many as possible, were going to be offered this blessing because they prophesy that this country, Great Britain, and other countries are going to go through turmoil. Now, if you think you've been through turmoil, there's more to come of a different sort, as prophesied by these Buddhist monks, and I'll talk why I use the word Buddhism. And that Connecting Consciousness was seen as a vehicle for good people to do good work on the earth. And we were identified, Connecting Consciousness was identified, and offered this blessing to offer some protection to light workers who are going to be in the firing line. So that's what we were sold it as, that's why. Because we're not Buddhist, we're not Taoist, we're not anything religion. And they said, no, it's nothing to do with religion. We recognize right across the globe good people, and we wish to not just celebrate the fact, but we wish to actively do something to give you that blessing. Now, it is linked to Tibet. You'll know Tibetan monks, because where the temple we went to, that is outlawed in China. You know, the Chinese claim Tibet as their own, and Tibet claims itself as an independent state, and the Chinese authorities are always going in and arresting people, and that done that since the 50s, I think. And so, you know, it is connected to the Buddha and to Tibet. Now, what's interesting is that on the way to receive the blessing on the M5 motorway, literally there was a little footbridge as you get over motorways, and there was two people. The timing is just immaculate. Two people leading two lamas. Now, before everybody tells me that I don't know my biology and that llamas come from South America, yeah, I do know, but thank you for telling me. But the word llama means enlightened one, and of course, the Dalai Lama is the guy in Tibet who runs all of these organizations. And what we were told was that now we'd received this blessing, we were on the road to enlightenment. Well, from a connecting consciousness point of view, I think every member of connecting consciousness is on his or her road to enlightenment. But hey, look, they've taken the trouble, they did a blessing, and so they're saying, you know, you're on the road to enlightenment. Well, we already know that, but thank you very much. But the very fact that there was two lamas being led across, and at the very moment that my car went under that bridge, these lamas and their handlers were right above us. Now, what's the timing is wonderful. So that was, I thought, the heavens sending us a sign, you know, go on, this is good, go and do it, rather than you're a woolly creature eating vegetables. So I would rather be you're on the right track than you're a woolly creature eating vegetables. All right, so let's move on now. I want to talk about the US, of course. And you know, I and others have been saying that when Joe Biden chose his running partner to be the potential vice president, we would know exactly who the deep state had identified to take over the United States. So when Kamala Harris was chosen, and perhaps not a big surprise to many people, but I made a message on my site today, which is worth repeating again, that the announcement was just a day or 2 days ago. What's absolutely astounding is that the establishment media, the BBC in this case, are already running stories that Biden will have to stand down. Already. And the article was a BBC online article that said that in November of this year, Joe Biden will be 78, and that probably Kamala Harris will have to step in for him on a number of occasions. Talk about planning and organizing. I mean, you've got to hand it to them. They've got the narrative well done, weeks ahead, and they're ready to run it out. So the established media are already telling us that within a matter of weeks, not months, weeks, Biden will be declared unfit and that they will put this woman in. Now, this woman, I'm calling her the new Hillary Clinton, because what the deep state want is Kamala Harris to achieve what Hillary Clinton couldn't in office, because she never got into office. So we've got it. There it is in a nutshell. Within 3 months of Trump, 3 months, I would say Trump's going to win. Of course he's going to win. Freudian slip. But within 3 months of a possible Biden win, he'll already gone. You see, once, if it were ever to happen, once Biden raises his right hand and swears by Almighty God to uphold the duties of president, then he could be removed the following day, and Kamala Harris would then be the new president. So they've got to keep him ticking over until that projection. Clearly, I personally hope that that day never dawns. But that's really worth noting. Not the fact that he's chosen her, but the fact that the established media have got their marching orders already written out and they're already running with it. And the hope is, from their point of view, that everybody says, oh, well, I knew that he would have to retire. He may have only been in office 30 days, but you know, oh, well, we expected it. Because that's what the media like to do. They like to lead people by the nose and give them the ideas. So that's that. I want to talk about the shooting outside the White House. You will remember that Trump said that he had upset quite a lot of very wealthy people, And he also said that he would disappear for a few days. His exact words were, "You might not see me for a few days." And quite coincidentally, I put Connecting Consciousness on a 2-week holiday just before then. What I can say is, whatever the established media come out and tell you, this shooter or infiltrator of the White House, he never got into what we call the inner cordon or the inner sanctum, but he was on the outer part. It was never expected that he could do very much, but the whole point of that was to make a point during the conference that's all timed to disrupt the conference. It's very well known that when any sort of issue occurs and the president is not in the Oval Office or a secure location, they have to stop what they're doing and cut it. So the whole point about this from the deep state was to interfere with a broadcast, an outside broadcast. They knew this person would never get near the president, but it would send the signal that they were, you know, looking at causing more trouble. So that's what that is. You'll probably find a story running that this guy has mental health issues, etc., etc. What I'm telling you is, whatever that side story is, he was part of an operation. He may not even know he was part of an operation. Okay, so that's where we're going with it. The organization, when I say organization, I mean the White House, not us. The organization is on heightened alert for more active shooters in schools, colleges, and more false flag operations as we run up to November the 3rd. I don't have any direct news or information other than that. Let's go on to the riots in Chicago. They picked the wrong one there, didn't they? The Windy City, perhaps going back to the 1920s and 1930s, we think of Al Capone and all the rest of it, pretty used to dealing with mob crime. And the local police chief absolutely did not do what the other Democrat weak leaders, left-wing leaders did. He actually got stuck in there with the guys and the women. And what they did was they arrested over 100 demonstrators. There were shots exchanged between the police and the demonstrators. Now that's a new thing. That's a new thing. We've had rocks and pepper bombs, Molotov cocktails, all the rest of it. That's what you expect in a riot. But what you don't expect is active shooters to be hiding in amongst the crowd, firing at officers, saying to themselves, well, the police won't fire back because they've got all these other demonstrators, and they hit them, there'll be a huge outcry. There were also drive-by shootings that were occurring. But the police action in the Windy City was to such an extent that it took the organisers of this riot completely off guard. And when the police regained some of the precincts, what they found were wooden boxes and cardboard boxes, or crates as we say in Great Britain, of rocks. So somebody had been dropping off boxes of rocks at key locations to be used as ammunition to throw at the police. Now that is not a spontaneous demonstration. That is a funded operation, and we can guess who's funding that. So whilst the established media throughout the world might show a young woman sitting waving a flag and it's all very peaceful and friendly, the thousands of people who live in those areas will be walking across broken glass, bricks, destroyed properties, destroyed businesses. They'll know the truth. And it must be absolutely incredible for American people to watch the news and see the version or the vision that the establishment want you to see, and then look out of their own window and see the destruction and mayhem. You know, that's the greatest wake-up call for anyone. There may be some very unawake and unaware people who lived in those parts of America where have been this left-wing revolution, and I'm going to call it that, who have just believed everything. Suddenly they're looking with their real eyes and their real hands, and they're touching and looking and thinking, my goodness me, that's nothing like what I'm being shown. I don't recognize that. So maybe that's their first wake up. Maybe that's the beginning of them joining Connecting Consciousness. I do hope so. Okay. Now when we do these podcasts, Becky's sort of collating the questions, I don't generally get to see those questions, but But Becky will say, right, what topics are you talking about? Because if I'm going to talk about a topic and there's a question and I talk about the topic and then she's going to ask a question, then it's a bit of a shame because I've already answered it. So I was going to talk about President Putin and the vaccine, and I said, oh, Putin and the vaccine. And Becky said, well, actually, we've got a question on that. So I'm going to save that and wait for that one. Back to Great Britain. Do I expect a lockdown or a curfew later this year? Yes, I absolutely do. If the deep state in Britain, and there's quite a strong group of what we could loosely call deep state in Britain, get their way. You know, on the one hand, we've got the economic argument, and on the other hand, we've got let's lock everyone up, basically. To hell with the economy, just lock everyone away. So if they get their hands on the levers of power, they will certainly wish a curfew, as appeared in Australia. Okay, and the last thing on Great Britain is basically, is Great Britain broke financially? And the answer is yes, it is. That's a simple answer. Britain is broke. There is no way that the debt can be paid back. Now, if Boris Johnson's got any sense, he won't pay it back. He'll shrug his shoulders and say, sue me. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. I cannot for life of me see how Britain can repay, Britons, people here, can repay back this eye-watering debt that's been built up. And it's funny, well, it's not funny, but it's mildly amusing to look back in 1968 at the what was called the Hong Kong flu. And there are pictures, black and white pictures, in 68 of people dining out in a restaurant during the height of the Hong Kong flu. Nobody's wearing a mask, but the staff are wearing masks. And so that's how they dealt with it. There was no lockdown. People still went to work, but only people in restaurants wore a mask. And that's how they didn't have an economic collapse in 1968. Now, what's the difference? The difference is that the Hong Kong flu was probably a natural growth of a virus, whereas we know the one from China was created in a laboratory. And as soon as you say to somebody biological weapon, they go into complete and utter confusion. And that's why you've got mandatory mask wearing, social distancing, even though today we've got a much better understanding of the virus and the number of people dying of the virus is hugely reduced. However, the fear factor is still there. I have worn the mask once or twice and I had to go into the post office, and if I hadn't worn it, they wouldn't have let me go in, and I had to post something back to eBay, and if I hadn't, I'd have been penalized. So I wore it then and I wore it one other time. But so keen was I to take my mask off that I pulled it off my face and knocked my glasses off before I was even out of the shop. But you know, if you go into a shop without a mask, people look at you as if, don't you give me the virus, you know. And it's like, whoa, what, have I murdered somebody? No, I've just forgotten to put my mask on. So we are living in times of great fear amongst those that are unenlightened, and for those who are monitoring this from the deep state, I haven't said anything that gives you the right to take this program down. There are certain things that people say and just takes this down. I've always said there was a virus. In fact, I was one of the ones to say it. Now, before we go, I want to end on a happy note. Happy note. This is not the latest addition to the cat family. It's not, neither is it one that's sadly passed on and been stuffed. This is funny. But this is a soft toy. But why am I showing you a soft toy? Don't you have enough cats, Simon? No, we've never enough cats. But back in February, I don't know if I was the first, but I was one of the first to go absolutely public, and I was ridiculed as usual, but I don't care normally, ridiculed when I said that ultraviolet light will kill the virus. And there was a sort of a stunned response for about 3 or 4 days to my statements. I did it online and I did it verbally. And then a lot of people were coming back saying, you're not a doctor, you can't tell. You know, you're talking nonsense, that there's no virus, this, that, and the other, and you know, ultraviolet light doesn't kill it. Months later, it begins to change, and it's like, oh, you know, where a person can put their fingernails that they've had painted into a machine, and it uses ultraviolet light to dry the nails. And there was suddenly talk that this is quite good. Ultraviolet light machines went through the roof in the sales, and still nothing official, nothing official. And I've got this toy, and I want to show you what it says. It says UV sterilized. Okay, so here's a soft toy which a baby or a young kid is going to get. So they sterilize it with ultraviolet light. Well, listen, you heard it here first, and I don't care, I'm going to say it. That's what connecting consciousness is about. We receive information from sources that we can't openly say. Months, certainly weeks, sometimes months, sometimes even more than that, ahead of the game. There are a number of people that only like to listen to my updates, and then they turn me off because they think, right, I've heard the updates. If it's coming from Simon, there's probably some substance behind it. We'll listen to the updates and then we'll go off. I just wish you'd listen to the whole show, please. And so there you go, private companies sterilizing children's toys with ultraviolet light. And back in February, and probably even in January, I was saying ultraviolet light kills a virus. And in fact, I got from an old theater, an old disused rundown theater, one of the big ultraviolet lights that they hung from the ceiling. When they're, I don't know, doing a play, a kid's play, and they want that ultraviolet light to make things look a bit spooky or something. And I got one of those that was second hand, and I stuck it by the very front door. And every time I got a letter or come in with a bag of shopping, I would hold the bag of the ultraviolet light. And people must have thought he's mad. But I wasn't mad. I was acting on information, and I didn't do what the elite do. I didn't sit on that information and say, this is mine, it's my information, I'm keeping it. I shared it because that's what I do, and I shared it for no cost. You don't pay for my information. There are so many individuals and sites where you get maybe three sentences, and then it says, if you want the rest, you've got to pay for this. So I don't charge for my information. Because that's exactly what the elite do. The elite say, if you've got the money, you can be ahead of the game, and if you're like everybody else, you don't deserve the information. And I know that other cultures are different, and in some countries, you expect to pay for everything. And maybe I am too soft on this. Maybe I do need to look at that. But the point is that I do want people to have the information. What you guys do with that information is entirely up to you. I've done my bit. I've brought it to you. If you've taken the trouble, thank you for listening to me, then you're going to take the trouble to think about it. That's fine. We're all done. On to the questions.
Okay, the first question is from Diego in Argentina. And Diego says, Dear Simon, thank you for always shining the light of hope in these times of uncertainty. My question is related to the new Sputnik vaccine from Russia. As we know, any type of prematurely made vaccine has not undergone the proper safety and efficacy studies, on top of the already doubtful compounds contained in them. Do you think this Russian vaccine is different? Would it truly be beneficial? At least it's not made by the Gates Foundation. Thank you, Diego from Argentina.
Thank you, Argentina. The Rothschilds don't operate in Russia, neither does Bill Gates. And when I mention anything to do with vaccine, everyone comes at me, throttle me around the neck or what have you. So, please hear me out. I've always talked about two vaccines, one that coming through the normal way and one coming through the military way. What's happened is that the Russian military have come up with this vaccine, and the Russians were a little bit naughty and they went and hacked other organizations' vaccine work, not as the established media would have you believe to steal their secrets, but to check the elements of that vaccine against theirs. So, in other words, they were looking at what was being put in Western vaccine. And that really put the wind up the Western group because they thought, the Russians know what we're putting in our vaccine. If they release that to the public, That will be a difficult one to manage. President Putin ordered his military scientists, and that they did. They took civilian scientists who they trusted and they drafted them into the military. The Russians have been doing that for years. And so confident on this were they, that one of President Trump, one of President Putin's own children has taken it, has volunteered to take the shot. So one of Putin's own children has taken the vaccination. Now, you may say they're fools, they're mad, that's up to them. But the point is that had this vaccine come from any other source, then Putin would not have agreed to have one of his own children do it. So that's very interesting. So what we've got in America is a two-pronged approach. You've got the Bill Gates operation and you've got an American military operation, and that's quite interesting. There are two separate vaccines being organized, one by the US military and one by the Gates Foundation. So we'll see where we go with that. So that's the answer to that. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Alejandra in Costa Rica, who says, my question is, I would like to know Simon's opinion about JFK Jr. appearing officially in public this year to help Donald Trump. If he does go public, can the military really protect him this time? I worry about the cabal doing everything in their power to eliminate him before or after he comes forward. Link here to the article, and it's an article by Robert David Steele, I think, about JFK Jr. to join Trump in Dallas on the 17th of October.
Okay, all right. Well, let's not confuse Mr. Fusco with... Fusco in Whitby is a well-known name for making fish and chips. I have just given them a real good go there. But I think the audience know who I'm talking about. That's not JFK Jr. That's an interesting psyop to put forward the possibility, if JFK Jr. were alive, what sort of reaction would it get from the audience? And I have said in public that the dream ticket for me, I've been quite open about this, I generally tend to be, unless it's life or death and someone's life is at threat, and I won't speak. But let's assume Trump is re-elected, does 4 years in office, does what is needed to be done, which he hasn't done so far in some areas. We know what they are. But let's say 4 years in, the dream team for me would be JFK Jr. coming back from the dead to run as president, and Don Trump Jr., that's Donald Trump's son, going as vice president. That for me is a dream ticket. Now, whether in 1999 JFK really did die in that aeroplane crash, or whether he somehow made it through, the questioner said, could the military protect him? Well, if we were to, you know, for argument's sake, accept or say that he was already alive, they've done a pretty good job protecting him thus far. But there's a difference between being taken from safe house to safe house to standing in a huge auditorium where, you know, you're advertising to the world who you are. Now, I'm not 100% convinced with the COVID legislation that you're going to get any massive rallies. Biden will refuse, I'm sure, to go to any of those, and all his debates will be online. We know that the vice president candidates are due to have a face-off. And I guess that democracy, in the sense of the word, requires the two presidential candidates to have some sort of face-off. I cannot believe that Biden's handlers will allow him to actually face the president at a question-and-answer session. So they're going to have to use excuses, and that's why I think that any rallies you see are going to be hugely reduced. Because remember, this virus was, you know, created and delivered by the deep state for the sole purpose, not of destroying the world's economy, the sole purpose of destroying the economy of the United States of America in the vain hope that people would blame the president for it. That's the whole point of this. That is why on the 4th and 5th of November, 2 days or day after the election, all in democratic states, laws and rules of lockdown all suddenly end. Again, it's like certain things where we see someone sat down months ago and drawn out the narrative. Here's the plan. We'll follow the plan through. My hope, my wish, is that President Trump is re-elected and that he has both the strength and the courage to do what I and you want him to do. Okay, next question, please.
Okay, the next question is from Sophie, who says, "Hi, Simon and Becky. What are the chances of Simon facilitating a collective meditation to prevent vaccines, etc.? I really feel our collective consciousness power could help avert some of the things that the deep state have planned."
Okay. We have a problem. I have a problem with that. Because then what you're doing is you're asking me to influence the minds of humanity. Now, I had no problem with the Hadron Collider because that was an AI machine connecting consciousness and other spiritual groups took on artificial intelligence. And we took on, to a lesser extent, those scientists who misguidedly were operating on that. So that's how I can cope with that. But if you're asking me to do a mass meditation, I can't do that. I think what's going to happen is, just like everything else, humanity is given a choice. And those people who opt for a Western-based traditional medicine vaccine have made a choice. Those who don't want that, they'll make a choice. I'm not going to go in and influence anyone's minds like that. If we were to attempt to do anything other than that, whether we would all be arrested, I'm not sure, which isn't too problematical, but the issue is choice. You know, it's like good aliens and bad aliens. A good alien shouldn't come down and tamper with your free will. He or she should respect your free will. Now, if someone comes to me, and there's tons of them out there, and through their own free will, they want to go and get this vaccination, they want that injection because, you know, the virus is going to kill them, and, you know, they know this vaccine is going to make them safe and well. That's their choice. And, you know, we cannot be responsible for other people who are 18 plus. We cannot be responsible for them. That is their choice. And if that's what they want to do, then let them do it. It's another step for them down the dead end, as far as I'm concerned. And for those of us who wish to exercise our free right not to have a vaccination, that's our choice as well, isn't it? So I think everybody has to make the choice that he or she wants, and I will not use connecting consciousness to interfere with the choice of humanity. If you were saying to me that there was a man waiting to press a button to explode a nuclear bomb, I would probably look on that in a slightly different manner. But this, to me, is part of humanity's waking up process. And I've got my hands full responding to, supporting and helping awake and aware people and those on the process of awake and aware, you know, without a lot of other unwelcome interest from people who, you know, desperately are queuing up at 5 o'clock in the morning because they want their flu injection or they want their anti-COVID injection or they want this or they want that. And look, if those people respect a doctor in a white coat with a stethoscope around his or her neck, or with the hypodermic needle here, that's their free choice to do so. You know, and for the rest of us, we will choose a different path. But there will be perhaps more joint meditations in the months ahead than you can handle, because there is a storm coming, and we will not hide from that storm. connecting consciousness will do what's required, and you will all have the chance or the choice to be part of group meditations. Great. Next question.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from Abby from the USA. And Abby says, I know we often hear about the hijacking of some ceremonial medicines, such as ayahuasca. What can you tell us about, for example, psychedelics? Is it possible to break dimensional barriers and leave them unrepaired? Can certain entities dry someone out entirely of who they are, and is there anything modern medicine can do? The purpose of the question is due to the second hospitalisation of my brother. His experience with mushrooms and LSD were very intense the first time. He waited a week before trying again. He mentions that this time he was placed into a very dark place, very fast, and felt as though he had died. He mentions angels speaking to him constantly now, being told he is also an angel. His friends, in hyphens, tricked him telepathically into going places alone, and that there are demons in his head which prevent him from sleeping. One has stayed in his home and he feels as if he's being watched. He stays with us now and has not slept in days, which has resulted in states of confusion and psychotic episodes. My family does not have any history of mental illness, and I've often mentioned in the past that I sense something in my house that watches me and does not let me sleep. It talks a little bit about the brother who's recently left a toxic job and lifestyle.
Okay, we've got enough.
But not been able to move past his experience.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Very powerful. It's not unique. More common than you would imagine. Is there anything in modern medicine that can help? Yes, there is. Things that can numb your brain, dull you down, and turn you into a vegetable. I'm not being rude or disrespectful. Often when you go to hospital, that's exactly what they want to do, because in their opinion, they're rebooting you or restarting you. And that's what they do for a heavy, you know, give you a heavy dose of something or other, and then gradually reduce it in the hope that they've rebooted or restarted you. But if we accept demonic entities, that isn't actually going to do anything. It just disassociates the person so much they haven't a clue what, where or when. Psychedelics have been used by secret intelligence agencies for many years as part of their training or their programming. And certainly if we go further back in history to secret groups, whether they be, you know, a group of priests around some Egyptian deity, or whether we're looking at Babylon, or whether we're looking at, you know, reptilian type beings. The understanding that if you can find a mechanism that takes the human consciousness out of the body, then basically you're out of your own backyard and you go into their playing field, you go into their place, their land, their home, and so you play by their rules and regulations. On the creative side, people who take these psychedelic drugs can write the most interesting music, can do the most wonderful paintings, write the most wonderful poetry. So what's the answer? The answer is, before you go down that road, you must, and it's not going to the library and getting a book, you really must find a protection method that allows you to be defended and protected while you are out of your body. Because I'm sure in many cases, ayahuasca organizations are bona fide and very good, but I have not personal experience, as I would absolutely refuse to undertake anything like that because I know the dangers. But I have met other people. There's a woman who interviewed me back in the early days of Amash, and she was the number one interviewer in Amash, and she gave me her own story when she went and took ayahuasca, and she said to me face to face that she woke up in the morning on the stone floor in a pool of blood. So there are some places where the demonic entities attach themselves in the ceiling. When the person takes the ayahuasca, they then descend from the ceiling and enter through their back. Okay. Now, for those of you who think, what a lot of nonsense, I would direct you to Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek, where there were these strange bat-like creatures or pancakey jelly creatures living on the roof, and they would descend and drop on your back, and Spock gets one on his back, and then he has to go into a chamber at the end, and a huge frequency of light is used to kill this thing because it becomes symbiotic to the person. Now, that may have been written in 65 or 66, but I can assure you that Gene Roddenberry, who was very knowledgeable, understood, and that's what these Hollywood guys do. They bring bits of truth and they add it in. So if you haven't seen that one, and I don't know the episode, somebody out there is going to know what that episode is. That is a pictorial representation of somebody in a dark cavernous room and these creatures dropping off the roof and landing on your back. I would say that maybe 10% of my clients who come to me have had ayahuasca sessions gone wrong. And what you're describing to me, unfortunately, is absolutely classic. It's, you know, anybody offering ayahuasca at a reduction, you would have to ask yourself, what's that about? You know, come and join me and, you know, my organization, or, you know, my little ayahuasca club, because there are lots of them in South America, of course, and, you know, we'll give you 10% discount. You know, what's that about? Why are these organizations like this woman that interviewed me, you know, do they not know what's going on? Are they so blissfully, the organizers, so blissfully unaware that they don't get it? Or are they themselves under control and, you know, these are being used to infect as many people as possible? It's a free choice. If you want to take ayahuasca, fine. But you must have superb protection before you do so. Otherwise, I'm afraid you're a bit of an open book. It's a really good question. You know, and people's choice, they think that it's part of enlightenment. I need to take this ayahuasca because it'll give me this enlightenment. Well, are you prepared to leave your body? Are you prepared to go into other worlds? Are you prepared to face and be followed back and find that something's in your body before you get there? And the other question is, can they force you out only in extreme circumstances? Generally, they don't want to do that. They want to live symbiotically with you. So they don't have the frequency to throw you out of your body and keep the body alive. So they need you in the body to keep the body functioning so they can symbiotically exist with you inside your body. Thank you. It's a good question.
Okay, thank you. In this case, her brother had taken mushrooms and, you know, magic mushrooms and LSD.
Anything,
yeah. It's very similar.
Anything
sort of stuff. Psychedelic.
Yes,
yeah.
Anything like that. LSD in the old days of the 60s and 70s, and the Beatles were, you know, singing about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Anything that's psychedelic. You see, marijuana doesn't have that effect. I don't know about crack or cocaine, but I don't think they're psychedelics. A psychedelic drug takes you out of your body and puts you in another reality. And this is the danger. If you're stoned in this reality, then you're just drunk. But if you're taken out, then you're manipulated. That's the difference. Okay.
And alcohol, high quantities of alcohol can do this.
Well, it's interesting because people who drink, you're right, people who drink alcohol still stay in this reality, but what happened is that with the alcohol, what the demons would do is stick on the addiction cycle. So this is the point, that it's the addiction cycle that they hook on. Now, you might say crack cocaine or anything else, but it's interesting that we go back in British history and it's always been called the demon drink. Now, why would it be called the demon drink? Simply because a demon takes over, or the devil takes over, and countless, through hundreds of years in Great Britain, people have seen people in drink, as they say, completely change, as if something's taken them over, which you wouldn't get with some of the lesser drugs. So it is the addiction part that disassociates yourself in that part of the brain that alcohol can do, which perhaps other drugs, which, you know, are illegal, don't do. So alcohol is legal, but is pretty dangerous if overdone, whereas there are other drugs which are illegal which aren't quite as dangerous. But is the question about You know, who controls the production of those drugs, how much money is made from them, and we all know the story on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So this next question follows on really well. It's from Alberto in Buenos Aires. And Alberto says, "Hello, Becky and Simon. I am being frequently attacked by all kinds of beings, like the Hat Man, gargoyles and black figures. When I was about 5 or 6, I used to see shapeless black beings that tormented me, and then I stopped seeing them until I began teaching Reiki. That's when the dream paralysis started, and now I'm being attacked. A week ago, for example, something I couldn't see but was putting pressure on my chest told me, 'I dominate, I dominate, give me some alcohol, give me cigarettes.' I can eliminate these beings and defend myself, but I'd like to know why this is happening to me now. Thank you and much love to you both."
Thank you for bringing the question forward. I'm happy to answer it, and it's not too complicated. Right, in the early stages of your development, you were being attacked by a lower fourth dimensional energy. And this is the black shadows. As you rose up in your own frequency and your own capabilities, you became into Reiki, so you developed your energy. That meant that you surpassed, or you went beyond, the lower fourth dimension's capabilities to attack you. So you're now being attacked by alien entities. Alien entities live in the mid-range of the fourth dimension and have a more of an ability to interact with us than the demonic creatures have. So what's occurred is that you've left the realm, or the ability of this realm to affect you, and now, because of your Reiki, because you are energy developed, you are being targeted by corporeal beings. Literally, if they came here and they manifested, they would have an organic structure to them. So that is exactly what's happened. What's the answer? Keep on development, raise your vibration, and you will out vibrate them in terms of their frequency. So you will be higher than they are. They won't be able to physically interfere with you, but they will still be able to project thoughts or ideas to you. The drugs, cigarettes and the alcohol, as Becky said, follows on quite nicely, because I promise you I didn't know that question was coming, but it's an addiction. You, if you're addicted to something, they can hook onto that addiction, and so they assume that alcohol and cigarettes is an addiction. So that's the simple answer. You've got to keep working at it, developing it, and you will outstrip them and you will leave them behind. The fact they're attacking you is because they see you as a threat. They see that your abilities are going to develop, and the bad organizations don't want good people on the earth doing their thing. They'd like, grudgingly, if good people are going to be on the earth, let's crush them. Let's make them like everyone else. So, you know, you're not going to do that. You're going to bounce back, and so well done to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Clive from England says, "Simon, many news outlets are discussing the rising tensions between China and Western nations. However, from looking at the level of flooding in China, I believe much of their country's farming infrastructure and crop production this year has been devastated. This would appear to create a huge potential for a major readjustment in how China functions as a country, which may take many by surprise, as the news media have been focusing on the conflict of nations. What are your thoughts on this? And please, can you also discuss the potential for famine in China, and what would this do to the world food supply?"
China was deliberately attacked by a weapon. We've seen California in years gone past attacked. We've seen some other countries attacked where the local environment has been affected, and China was targeted. It's part of the war that's taking place. America won't send any grain to China. I don't think it will make that much difference, to be honest with you, because if you look at the Stalin's plans and, you know, other dictatorships, and China is a dictatorship, it's a communist dictatorship, they're not overly bothered as long as the regime survives. So if
10% of the population or 15% of the population were to die, that will be an acceptable loss for the Chinese Communist Party as long as the organization maintains and stays. So you're not going to get very much humanitarian give and take while those people are still in charge in China. The point is that China was able to use its enormous growth to browbeat other organizations, not so much with bribery, but through secret societies and through the belief that in the next 25 years, China was going to dominate the world and would beat America. So a lot of people who are short-sighted threw their plans in with China, believing that the Chinese were going to dominate the world and they wanted to be on the winning side. That's the bottom line here. World Health Organization, many other organizations. What we're seeing is a different sort of fight back now, where undeclared technologies are being used against the Chinese, and this is part of what I've said is the storm is coming, because the Chinese do have back-engineered technology themselves. They don't lead in the same way that the Russians do. If we were to look at the advancement in back-engineered alien technology, both from this own planet, technology that's millions of years old, and more recently given technologies, the United States is about between 5 and 12 years ahead of Russia. Well, if you went back 30 years, they were 50, 60 years ahead. So Russia's really close up. Then you've got countries, believe it or not, like Iran, and you've got Israel, and you've got China, who are maybe 15 years, 20 years behind, but have excelled in certain areas of technology where they are close up. I mean, in Russia, the Russians are ahead of the Americans in hypersonic missiles. This is not widely known, and President Trump has ordered, a few months back, he ordered a mass improvement in that arm of the military, because the Russians have hypersonic missiles with energy beam weapons on the end of them. So don't just imagine a hypersonic missile traveling very, very fast. Imagine a hypersonic missile traveling very, very fast, and as it approaches its target, it will fire an energy weapon from it. That's where the Russians are. And you will have read that there was a testing of a supposed weapon in space, and that's exactly what that was, but everyone's been hush hush about it. So the Chinese now are in a war, not tanks and infantry, but they are in a war. We will see where it goes. As always, it is the ordinary people that suffer. It doesn't matter whether it's Great Britain, Ireland, or America, or China. The ordinary people who are been denied the truth, kept in place, they're the ones that suffer. It's not the elite, not the wealthy, not the rich. And this is what's going to happen, because these ordinary people like ourselves here, we've got to wake up. We've got to understand what's going on. And there is strength in numbers. You know, short of about 900,000 German people demonstrated in Berlin against the lockdown measures. The police, the German police said it was between 750,000 and 800,000 demonstrators. The organizer said it was 1 million. What did the BBC say and the established media say? 20,000. How is this possible? This is exactly the point. The establishment say 20,000 people took place. Thank goodness for mobile phones, cell phones. Thank goodness for the videos, which showed hundreds of thousands of people. And this is the way forward. If hundreds of thousands of people demonstrate, it sends a message. And what government does is, the government doesn't do anything on the day of the demonstration. They don't like to be honest. They can't do what you and I would do. which is hold our hands up and say, I made a mistake. I'm going to do something about it. What they do is they wait a week or 2 weeks and they say, we're going to change policy. We're going to do this. They don't say sorry. They don't apologize. They don't say they got it wrong. They just say, oh, we're just going to change policy. That shows the split between the people and these so-called leaders. And that's what we need to see more of. We need to see ordinary people actually making their opinion known. Sometimes we can't wait 4 years or 5 years for a ballot. Sometimes we can't wait 5 years for an election. Sometimes we have to tell people how we feel now. You know, and there was that very interesting point in Morrison's supermarket where a group of activists ran into the supermarket with loudspeakers shouting at people not to wear masks, saying that, you know, they are following the government's orders, they are being brainwashed, you know, when are they going to wake up? Now, you know, that was a very interesting, it's not a stunt, could have been a stunt, but it's a very important point that there are people who are not able to get the message across because the establishment are not letting that message out. That's why nearly a million Germans took to the streets, because social media wouldn't let them express themselves. So what do? Nearly a million Germans went on to the main city of Berlin and demonstrated. Now, what happens is if social media becomes so prescriptive, if government stops listening to people, this is exactly what you get. So, you know, you get what you deal out on the cards. Next question, please.
Okay, this is the last question because I'm sure we've been going over an hour. And it's from Dean in Worcestershire in the UK. Hi, Simon and Becky. In your recent interview, you mentioned a contract that CC members entered into when joining. Could we clear up whether this is considered to have any implications to members' individual sovereignty? Many thanks to you both. It's just the one where you talk about clicking on the heart.
Yeah, it does have it does absolutely have a huge connection and a huge impact on your sovereignty. Because if you're a good person and you're a sovereign person and you believe in the truth, you won't have any problem in clicking on the heart. If there's any evil in your heart, if you are, you know, looking for other issues, you won't be able to click on the heart. The contract is not a contract astrally or unseen or hidden, or, you know, a written contract as you might have if you start a new job. This is how much you get paid and this is what you do for me, the hours you work. This is a contract between your own higher self and the creational force around you. Okay, Connecting Consciousness is an organization for spiritual awake and aware people, or people on the verge of that, who are on their enlightenment path. They are looking for other people like them who will share in their experiences and won't judge them, won't laugh at them and say, well, no, that's pretty exciting, but let me tell you what happened to me. And so we suddenly realize that we are in a family of people who shouldn't judge and should respect everybody. I know it doesn't always happen, but that's what we should have. And the heart represents this love of the universe, the multiverse, the love that you have for yourself and with yourself, and the love that you have for the creational force around you. And when you click on that, you are affirming that you understand that and that you want to join the spiritual organization, Connecting Consciousness. You want to be a part of that and bring your own special sacred light to this group. We are all individual, of course, but we are all part of human consciousness. And that's what that, so it is absolutely, it's you recognizing who you are and what your relationship with the world is, and also recognizing that Connecting Consciousness is not a money-making organization. It's not a cult. It's not a group that seeks to, you know, do this and that. It is a group of people who actually believe in positive future and actually want the best for humanity. You know, we're not service to self. So I could have, I wouldn't, of course not, but, you know, you could contrast that. You could put the symbol of a dollar sign or a symbol of a pound sign or a symbol of a euro sign and click this. And that would have been a contract with, you know, the Babylonian spell. Isn't that what we do when we take a job? How much money are you going to give me? What do I do in return? I want to buy a motor car. How much money do you want? What's my car? This is nothing to do with that. This is the purity, and that's what it's about. There's a really good question. Nobody's asked me that, and I just answered it from the heart. So I want to thank everyone for being patient, being kind, listening to the show, doing your own research. I want to thank those of you who have donated. You keep us on the road. You keep this show going. You keep us going. You know, and we've got this action, this legal action against the BBC. If you haven't donated, please do so. You know, please give something to show your support for a spiritual organisation that is not going to be pushed around by anyone else. So thank you very much indeed. And, you know, keep up the good work.